Hot Topic, written by Krista D'Souza and read by Joan Walker. What do human beings, killer whales, and gall-forming aphids have in common? The menopause. In other words, unlike almost every other recorded species, with the possible exception of pilot whales, we all go on living well after we stop being able to have babies. From an evolutionary perspective, this has always been a conundrum. What is the point of living if not to reproduce one's genes? And yet here we have it. Us, killer whales, and gall-forming aphids doing precisely that. Female killer whales who stop reproducing at about 35 yet live till around 90 are far from redundant. Not just teaching the grandkids how to hunt salmon, but being total stick-around Italian mamas to their sons throughout their adult lives. Apparently there is a 14-fold increase in the death rate of male killer whales if their mothers die. Let's look, too, at the vital role the menopausal gall aphid plays within the colony. As a female loses its ability to reproduce, it starts transforming itself into a kind of suicidal glue bomb. Once the transformation is complete, it goes and sits outside the gall or hive and protects the rest of the colony by glomming itself onto potential predators. Funny this. I have a mischievous writer friend called A.A. Gill who quipped when he heard I was embarking on a book about menopause, "So the first two-thirds will be brilliant, the last, not so much." Yes, well, go look at the aphids, which may, bar the suicidal bit, be the underlying message of this book. Because one of the best things about writing it was discovering the cold, hard scientific evidence that from a brutally reductive evolutionary perspective, there is a reason for us being around. God, if you believe in him, did have a purpose for us other than looking pretty and reproducing. All those self-help gurus banging on about finding one's inner goddess and reigniting the fire within did have a point. While Japanese and Mediterranean societies that revere older women could teach us more than a trick or two. Another thing, did you know that the word climacteric, what the Victorians called it, aside from meaning critical stage, also refers to the process of fruit ripening after it has fallen off a tree? A no-brainer, really. Wouldn't anyone prefer the juicy, just about to turn fig on the ground to the hard green one you have to yank off with both hands? And yet, those of you who are as old as me, 55 and a half, will remember the patronising Virginia Slims ad campaign slogan in the 70s. "You've come a long way, baby." Well, we have, in a way. There's so much which used to be taboo and just isn't anymore. Sex, how much one makes, religion, who you vote for, hair removal even, these are all perfectly acceptable topics to discuss alongside the chaps at the dinner table. But the menopause. I want to say it is the conversational equivalent of passing wind, but do I really mean that? Perhaps what I mean is that the subject is not so much taboo as plain dull, a much worse sin in so many ways. A little like the drab, Patrick Hamilton-esque pocket of London off the M4 where I have lived for the past 18 years, the menopause is never, I fear, going to be fashionable or to come up. Come to think of it, if the menopause were a borough, it would make a very good Baron's Court.